Goeiemôre. Has God been good to you this week?
Yes.
I can't hear.
Yes.
Show it on your face. Amen. Bezweni. Het julle ore? Can you pull your ears so I can see there's movement in your ears? Can you? Het julle ore? I feel like what Paul said to the Philippians. I never knew there was this scripture in the Bible. Listen what Paul said to the Philippians. He said, I don't mind repeating what I've written earlier in letters. And I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry. This is Paul to the church of the Philippians. The Living Bible says, I never get tired of telling you this, and it is good for you to hearing it again and again. The truth is, when you hear things often enough, you will eventually believe. Sorry, it takes time for some people to believe. And what you believe will determine your direction and your decisions and your destiny. I think it's wrong for ministries of the word to think that you can preach something one Sunday and think they all got it. It's unfortunately not true. I used to be a teacher. I used to be a lecturer. I know that you have to hear things over and over again for it to sink in. And especially when it comes to the word that comes to us in this season. So, I encourage you this morning. I want somebody to pray with me. Broer, ek wil hê jy moet 'n gebed doen hierso. Maar soos wat jy hom kan doen, impartasie. Ek wil bid dat die Heilige Gees hierdie woord gaan aktiveer. We need an activation. I had a dream last night about this household. I'm not going to elaborate, but I pray for an activation. Iets in jou binneste geestesmens moet ontwaak. Otherwise, we're just going to go through the same thing over and over again. But I want an activation. Daar moet 'n ontwaking plaasvind, daar moet 'n honger en dors kom, daar moet iets in die mens wakker word wat die woord wat hom roep.
Halleluja.
Let's agree together. Yes, Lord.
Yes. Gee die lof ons, gee die eer, gee die aanbidding. U is waardig ons aanbidding. U is hoog verhewe. U is God. U is God. Buiten U is daar geen ander God nie. Dis in U wat ons geloof sit, Here. Dis in U wat ons vertroue plaas. Want Here, U is die begin. En U is die einde. U is die Alfa. U is die Omega. Here, ons loof U. Ons prys U. Omdat U so wonderbaar is. Dankie vir genade. Vir reddende genade. Vir verlossingsgenade. Vir vergifnis, Here. Dankie my God, geen sonde is vir U te groot nie, geen ongeregtigheid onmondelik nie. Dankie Here Jesus dat U die volle prys betaal het. Dankie vir die volle prys. Dankie, dit was nie gedeeltelik nie. Toe U sê dit is volbring, Here, to us dit volbring, to us ons vergewe, to us ons gered, verlos, bevry, to us ons persoon, my God. Daarom kan ons vanmorgen die gemeente van die Here Jesus uitmaak, want U het gelei. Here, U die Dolorosa pad gestap. Here, U het die kruis vir ons gesleep dra. Here, U het die kruisiging, het U deurgemaak. U was God verlate, sodat ons kan aangeneem en aanvaar kan word, meester. U het jou gesmaak, sodat ons hemel kan smaak. U was verwerp, sodat ons aangeneem kan wees. Dankie vir die gees van aanneming, die Heilige Gees, deur wie ons vanmorgen kan sê, Abba Vader. Dankie Here, vir huis soos die. Dankie dat U hierdie huis reeds met die grondlegging, Here, het U dit geken, het U dit reeds geskep. So ons probeer nie 'n kerkie bou nie, hy was en is reeds en sal wees, is geskep, Here. So U het lank al geweet van ons, wat hier moet inskakel. So Here, ons is hier, omdat U ons ingeplant het. Ons is hier, Here, omdat U ons in die holte van die hand vashou. U hou ons in stand, U hou ons staande. Niks wat U in die raad gebesluit het aangaande ons, sal met ons gebeur nie. Want is dit U wil, wat volkom in ons lewens geskied, Here. Here, so daarom, dat U wil vanmorgen volkom geskied hier. Here, sien ons ore vanmorgen, om te hoor wat sê die Gees aan die gemeente. Here, ons maak die woord vry vanmorgen. Ons haal om uit sy letterstatus uit. En ons verklaar dat hy vlees word. En vlees is, Here. Dit is wat ons vanmorgen hier spreek. In Jesus naam. In Jesus naam. Here, geopende verstand, my God. Dat ons kan insig hê. Dat ons verlossing kan hê. Dat ons bevryding kan hê. Openbaring, kennis, my God. Dat ons die woord op 'n heel nuwe vlak hoor. En gee ons genade om nie net woorders te wees nie, maar help ons, my God, om daders te wees en daders te word. Here, gee dat hierdie woord van vanmôre is 'n gespreekte woord, letter, maar in my en in my broer en in my suster, Here, word hy die vlees. Hy gaan ontkiem en hy gaan vrug dra wat by die bekering pas. Die koninkryk gaan by baat by vanmorgen se woord. Seën hom wat het vanmorgen bedien. Gee hom alle krag van vrymoedigheid om geen mense vrees op hom te hê nie, maar dat God se vrees vanmorgen op hom wees, dat hy kan sê, so waar as die Here leef, sal ek spreek net wat God vir my sê. U sien ons vanmorgen, waar ons hier nou gaan saam vergader,
yes, Lord.
In U naam in.
Amen.
In Jesus naam vra ons dit, Vader. Amen.
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 Amen. We speak a quickening, an awakening, in Jesus' name. I don't know why I keep thinking about the days 30 years plus ago, where we came from, the church in Midrand, I would begin to preach the word. But within 10 minutes, there would be people queuing up on both sides of the pulpit, wanting the microphone. And they came and they prophetically proclaimed the word. They took the word. I could stand there and listen to a corporate sharing of the word. Because the people were activated. Hulle het na die vorentoe gekom, die mikrofoon gevra, and they continued the word. They added. They, revelations came. Prophecies came. People from the pews. Tyd dat ons wakker word, hè. Don't just sit there. Please, please, be activated. Otherwise, we're just going through the routine. So thank you, George. I was thinking about what God's been activating in my own heart again, almost like I would say reactivating it. And I ended with that last week. And the question is, do you remember? Do you remember? Now, I'm not asking you, do you remember last week? I'm not asking you, do you remember when this or that event happened in your life? I'm asking a deeper question. And this is what we're going to probe this morning. Do you remember? Because when you were first born again, it was only the beginning. Many people stop with that memory of when I was born again. It's a wonderful memory because I remember when I was born again. I hope everybody sitting here remembers when you were born again. But guess what? That was only the beginning. In fact, it wasn't even the full beginning. You were on the starting blocks. Remember, we're running a race. That's when you were on the starting block. Your race hasn't even started yet. Because why? Because something happened ages ago, which God is reactivating in us now by His Spirit. And I trust that we have ears to hear, and I amen that prayer. And I'm saying, Father, by Your Spirit, activate a hearing. Put a quickening in the hearts of everybody this morning in Jesus' name. See, when many people stop with that testimony when they were born again. That's the only testimony they have. They remember when they were born again. Wow, what a wonderful. Well, sadly, it's wonderful, but that's only the beginning. Get going. Remember who you were before and start living that life in the present. Most Christians don't get beyond that. They spend all their lives with that salvation memory. And they're happy that they've been made alive in Christ. But there's something more waiting for us. We are now tuning in to what the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of. I feel an activation in my own heart. We're hearing the voice of our Father. Little by little, we're remembering the realm from where we came and the great purpose for which we were born. Like I said last week, sadly for many people, that memory only comes in the last few minutes before they die. Then they start remembering what they should have known, should have remembered in the beginning of their born-again life. We call this revelation. Revelation. Reveal. But it actually boils down to remember. Like I explained last week, and I'm going to say it again and again because I want you to get this. To reveal something means to unveil what has been there. It's not a new thing. Revelation unveils to you what has been there. So it's a very important word, the word revelation, to reveal, to unveil, which is to remember what has been. And it sounds like quite a task. Because we've got to work through all these impressions of the present world. We've got to work through all the stuff that we now have to clear out to get to the real thing behind what we've accumulated in terms of memories in this world. It's a recovered reality. Remembering means to recover true reality. Okay? And I use the word, and I love this verse in Job 38. I'm just quoting it, Job 38. You must read it in your own time, where God asked Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of this world? Where were you when the sons of God were shouting for joy?" I mean, there was obviously a reference to a meeting that had been, we don't know how long ago. And I'm reminded of a word that William Hinn brought. And I wish I could make that available to all of you again. Where he asks three questions. And I've asked these questions to fellow ministries, fellow people in the ministry, in our local setup. Three questions. Who is God? Where is God? What is God? And I have a feeling, if we had to give each one of you a piece of paper and ask you to answer those questions from your own heart. Who is God? Where is God? What is God? Your answers will all be different. Because we have different concepts of God. And unfortunately, the concept that you have of God determines what you receive and how you receive and how you progress in this life. Unfortunately, it is true. It's difficult for our natural minds to understand the fact that the Bible says God is spirit, God is light, God is love. Those are the three clear sentences we find in the Bible. And then when you go back and I have a feeling I'm damaging my carnal mind, my natural mind, but I'm thinking and I'm reading. There was a time when there was nothing but God. There was no universe, there was no world, there was nothing except God. Right? And if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, oh Lord, help us. In the beginnings, the real translation there is not in the beginning, it's in the beginnings. In the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's not go there now. There was a meeting in the beginning. And in that meeting, through the everlasting covenant, the Father, God, made certain decrees. In the beginning, I don't know how far, how many eons, how many billions of years, I don't care. In the beginning, there was a meeting. And Father made certain decrees. Now we're digging into the scriptures, and I want you to see it on the screen, the scriptures, because I want you to make notes of these scriptures, because I'm encouraging you to go home and reread these scriptures. Read them again through new eyes. All right, first one, Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Psalms 2, verse 7. And as you know, I'm normally from the New American Standard. Are we there? All right, it says this, "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" Oh, okay, when was that? When was that? "You are my son. I have begotten you." When was that? All right, Colossians 1 will help you. I'm just referring to Colossians 1. Talking about Jesus, if you really want to know who Jesus, the Son of God, was, go and read Colossians 1 over and over again. There we see that Jesus, the Son, was before all creation. He was the first of all creation. In him, through him, and to him, everything was created. So that meeting had taken place way back. God made a decree. He said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." I encourage you to go and read Colossians 1 from verse 15 onwards. Okay, Psalms 110 verse 4. Psalms 110 verse 4 says this. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He's talking to the Son. Okay? The Son agreed. Listen to this. The Son agreed. And that we find in Psalms 40. Psalms 40 from verse 6. Are we there? Psalm 40 from verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, "Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." This is the Son talking. "In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." What a response. The Father decreed, the Son agreed. Right? Stay with me. Hebrews 4 verse 3. Hebrews 4 verse 3 makes a powerful statement, and it says this. For we who have believed, enter that rest, just as he has said, "I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. His works were finished from the foundation of the world. When we say God views everything from the finish, this is what we mean. God is above time. He's above time. He's not trapped in space and time. So God says, "I see everything from the finish because it was done. It was finished." Right there in the beginning. His works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now let's take it a bit further. I'm going to get now it's going to go personally. Now I want you to hear this personally. Take it into yourself. Old and young. Come on. Ephesians 1 from verse 3. Ephesians 1 from verse 3. I really speak impartation into your hearts and spirit. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us," get that, "in him before the foundation of the world." Did you know that? You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Father, help us. "That we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." Amen. Please bump somebody next to you, make sure they're awake. Say, "We have been predestined to the adoption of sons before the foundation of the world." It happened way back. There was a meeting in the heavens. These things were decreed then. Next verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Are you taking notes? 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 9. "Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Okay? "For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." He's prepared that which the eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it's not even entered the heart of man. God has prepared for those that love Him. How many of you love God? You really, how many of you were touched when we sang certain songs here this morning? I mean, I stood there, I felt falling apart. I mean, we were singing songs that Lord, don't let me repeat that. But we don't understand. We sing about the cross. We don't understand. When we look at an empty cross, we must see beyond that what God accomplished for us and in us. Next verse, Isaiah 46. Go to Isaiah 46, verse 10. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? There are people challenging this statement. They say there are other gods in many other ways. Listen, there's only one God. Only one true God. There's a lot of manufactured false gods and idols, yes, but they mean nothing. There's only one God. He says this, I am God and there's no one other. I am God and there's no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, get that, and from and from ancient times which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Now, if God says, I will, you better believe He will. Do you believe that? If God says, I will, then you can take it as an accomplished fact. I will. Let's go to the next. The lamb was slain in that meeting. We referred to that meeting way back. The lamb was slain in that meeting. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. How's that? He has appeared in these days, these last times, for the sake of you. But he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Next thing. Your and my name have been written in the book in that meeting. Our names have been written in the book in that meeting. Revelation 13, verse 8. Everyone on earth whose name was not written from the world's foundation in the slaughtered book of life, the Lamb's book of life, will worship the beast. Can you see that? There's an opposite. But we who worship God, we who love God, our names have been recorded in that book, even then, in that meeting. Now I'm going to say it also, like I said in the beginning, to repeat the same thing over and over means that it has to become your own revelation. Has to be something solid that nobody can rob from you. Why is it then so important then to have your mind renewed? Can you see the importance of having a renewed mind? The renewal of the mind is not a once-only experience. It's an ongoing experience. For me, it's an ongoing experience. I find God by His Spirit renews my mind all the time. It's a renewal taking place in my thinking. And I'm glad for that. I'm happy for that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know that. I'm just quoting that. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what the will of God is. Folks, I'm speaking this by impartation. Be open, be teachable, and let your mind constantly be renewed. Especially in the light of what we're saying now, we must remember what had taken place in that special meeting eons ago. And therefore, that we need a renewed mind. Otherwise, our mind is full of the things of this world. It's needed now as a renewed mind. A transformed perspective means to think from a different reality, from heaven to earth. Only a renewed mind can consistently bring kingdom reality to earth. Only a renewed mind can bring kingdom reality to earth. Written into the spiritual DNA of every believer is an appetite for the impossible that cannot be ignored or wished away. So I want you to hear that. We can see that in the children today with their tablets and their iPhones, and they are digging for something beyond. Did you know, do you know, and do you believe that what happened in Genesis 1, God created man in his image and in his likeness. The fall affected that, but didn't eradicate that. You and I are more God-compatible than sin-compatible. Come on, think about that. Allow the depth of yourself, the DNA that's in you, to come to the surface. You'll find you're more in love with God than in love with the world. There's something in you searching, seeking, wanting to know more, going into the mystical realms of the unseen. And the world is competing for our attention through television, through all sorts of ways. The world wants to capture us and tell us there's something else, there's something better. Baloney. Unfortunately, it's happening from many pulpits as well. God forbid. This is why Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." What he meant by that is, re means go back. Repentance means to go back to God's perspective on reality. Go to his original plan. That means what it means to repent. Now, are you ready? I'm heading, going for the last chapter this morning, of this morning's. Okay. Well, this last chapter is going to take a few minutes, but I want you to listen. Scriptures that you know, I'll bump you in your middle of your sleep, and I can bump you, and you will remember these scriptures. In the beginning was? Uh-oh. Wake up, son, wake up. Look at me. In the beginning was? The Word. Say that. In the beginning was? The Word. Let that sink in. And the Word was? The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Ek het nou net hierso met julle gebrek en gedog julle ken al daai skrifte. Get clear in your mind. Get clarity. Get this picture. In the beginning, way back, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. Please get that. I guess we're going to build on that now. The Word that was in the beginning became flesh. So God became flesh in Jesus. You with me? Now, Ephesians 1, can go back to Ephesians 1 from verse 3. Ephesians 1 from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. When were you chosen? Before the foundation. How were we chosen? In him. In him who was the Word. Come on, come on, come on, get this. God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And you've just agreed in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was the Logos. He was the Word made flesh. But we had been chosen before the foundation of the world in him. Ons was daar saam met hom. May the Lord blow away the limitations of our carnal mind. Listen. He was the Logos. You and I were chosen in him. That makes us a Rhema. The Rhema comes out of the Logos. Bump your neighbor and say, you're a Rhema. You're a Rhema. The Rhema came out of the Logos. So actually, you're a Word. You are a Word. You came out of the Word, made flesh. Doesn't Paul say, we are living epistles to be known and read by all men? Known and read by all men makes you Word. Before you open your mouth, before you make a noise, people can read you. Listen. Ephesians 1 verse 11, amplified. Listen to this. In him we were also made God's heritage, portion, and we obtained an inheritance. For we had been before ordained, chosen and appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. So what we need here is a discovery, is a remembering. We need to remember. It's not you have to work and do this and work and do this. It's a matter of, to remember it. To remember it. I loose this upon us. I'm digging for it. I'm kicking for it. Want to remember. As we're going to partake of the table, Jesus said, when you do this, remember me. We were there. How could you remember something that you've not been to? As you iets moet onthou, is dit iets waar jy by was? Now, Jesus, the Word made flesh, and we had been chosen in him. So, Jesus, the living Word, or the Logos, and we out of him. Do we understand Isaiah 55 verse 11 in a different way? Isaiah 55 11 says, my word will not return void to me. Ah. You and I cannot return empty. We have been sent with a purpose, charged. Stop living a passive life. Stop just being a victim of circumstances. You have a destiny upon your life. Question, have you connected with that destiny? Oh, brother, I don't know what my purpose in life is. I'm bumping my head and I'm bumping and I... Stop. Wait on God and discover who you are. Make that discovery. Lord, help us. Do you know what this means? It just jumped in my own spirit. We are part of an ongoing incarnation. Yeah. Incarnation means the Word made flesh. We are part of an ongoing incarnation. If this reality, rather I should say, when this reality hits and you discover who you are, your whole life will change. Your environment, your neighbors, your cultures will suddenly be impacted by who you are. Suddenly. You will walk into the mall. You will walk into a shop and people will feel presence. People will discover something because who you are. There's so much. We are the ongoing incarnation and expression in the earth. Chosen to be salt and light in this world. I'm going to close here. A scripture that has been quoted a million times in the evangelistic season and others is like this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Ons ken die skrif. Matthew 18 says, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. It's more than seeking to save whoever that was lost. The Son of Man came to save that which was lost. Think. Memory. The kingdom. God came, He sent His Son not just to save souls, but to take back, to save that which was lost. In the fall, man lost his memory. In Jesus, we have been recreated. We've become a new creation. Now, may God help us so that the memory will match this new creation in us. There won't be a difference. For the rest of my life, I want to live that true memory, that true identity, that true DNA that was created in me in that meeting in Christ. George, can you see this meeting somewhere taking place, having taken place, in which these decisions had been made? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 15 in the Message. I quote that. I love that. Whatever was, is. Whatever will be, is. That is how it always is with God. Go and read that. Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's verse 15, where it says, talks about this eternity in the heart of every man. Eternity in the heart of every man. The word death doesn't fit in there. Can we bring the table? I want us to now seal this with the communion. Something struck me the other day, and I want to declare that this table, could this be a moment and which suddenly, we remember. Suddenly. How many of you remember the eagle? The wounded eagle in the cage. How many of you remember that? Wounded eagle. Got healed in this cage. Over months. And then the farmer decided to let this eagle go. And he opened the gate. But the eagle kept walking, walking past the open gate. He wouldn't get out. That's where most Christians are. When Jesus came, he opened the gate. But this eagle kept walking. Kept walking. The farmer could not understand. The gate is open. One day, he heard the sound of a free eagle. And within split seconds, this eagle was out. Because he remembered who he was. He remembered who he was. This is the sound that should be released from the church of Jesus Christ. The world must hear the sound of freedom. The real freedom must come from the church. But no, we still minister sin consciousness. We still don't demonstrate total victory in this life because we have not made peace with who we are and who we were. Jesus, imagine this. Jesus attacked death and conquered it. He attacked death and conquered it so that you and I can live with him. Think about that. We sang these beautiful songs. He crossed the divide for you and me. He brought together what belongs together. May we remember as we participate this morning. Can I encourage you, take time, close your eyes, and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's all stand for a moment. Oh God, we speak this morning that the Holy Spirit will do what we can't do, what man can't do, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, we want to live the overcomer's life. We know the DNA is within us. We know the price has been paid. We know we've been predestined to victory, to total victory, to live the life that the Son of Man showed us the example. He's the pattern son, the man who lived in heaven while on earth. Oh God, forgive us for living in like that eagle in the cage. Even while the door is open, the price is paid, we still walk like a bound eagle. Release us from that limited thinking. Release us, oh God, to live who we are and called to be. You pay the price for overcomers. In Jesus' name, we bless the table, Lord, in the name of the Lord. Why don't we come forward and take bread?